The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 15 minutes and 44 seconds. There is a station ID at 9 minutes and 34 seconds, and 3-second pauses every 2 minutes and 50 seconds for timer resets.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 103 for December 16, 2023. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, continuing to sit in for Will Rogers, K5WLR. In this Rain Hamcast, we're going to honor Oren Brand, K9KEJ, a ham whose voice was heard weekends across America for decades with his outdoors radio show. He became a silent key on November 15, 2023. You probably won't recognize his name or voice unless you lived in the greater Chicago area in the 1980s or later. We're going to let you hear from him for the next few minutes as we bring you two readings from him. The first, his tongue-in-cheek commentary he wrote and voiced for the Rain Report. Oren was introduced by Larry McGlore, KB9DIP.
From the darkened studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP. The lights are off in the Rain office as we go to press. The volunteer staff and Rain founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, flew the coop to wander the miles of aisles in the Hera Arena in Trotwood, Ohio, looking for what's hot and what's not at the 2012 Dayton Hamvention. If you happen to hear this before the Hamvention is over, you'll find the Rain booth, number 329, alive with folks recording their stories as how they got into ham radio and why. Being the party pooper that I am, I didn't go this year. However, in honor of the show of shows, I'm able to present the most entertaining and pithy commentary about hamfests that was written and voiced in 1993 for the Rain Report by Oren Brand, K9KEJ. This flamboyant and Gene Shepard-esque character is better known to outdoors aficionados for his weekly Mike Jackson Outdoors Show. If you've gone to a local ham fest in the past few years, you'll find his observations are still right on the mark all these years later. With his commentary simply entitled Ham Fests, here's Oren Brand, K9KEJ.
Right at the outset, I will qualify this dissertation by telling you I've been a ham operator since 1957. And I've managed to dabble with many of the facets of our hobby. I've been fortunate to partake in slow and fast scan television, RTTY, AM, SSB, FM, CW, phase modulation, moon bounce, microwave, HF, VHF, UHF, DX, rag chewing, you name it. No packet though. I've even toyed with the idea of packet, but haven't done it. Figured I'd spend enough time in front of a computer screen all day as it is. And over the years, I've discovered ham radio has something for everyone, especially for those folks who love to go to ham fests. What? Have I hit a nerve? I'll never forget how I felt at my first ham fest back in the 50s. Don't try to figure out how old I am. I don't even know where it was, except that it was perhaps someplace in central Illinois. There were food stands selling delicious barbecue ribs, Italian beef, hamburgers, fresh sweet corn, and other assorted foodstuffs every normal kid would die for in those days. You could gaze upon row after row of folding tables set up like little communities, almost like dominoes. Looking back now, that first hamfest experience reminds me of town festivals and celebrations where everyone shows up. Each table held the promise of some kind of adventure. There was a table with used night kits from Allied Radio in Chicago. Stuff like an ocean hopper and space banner super regen receiver. There was a table full of old Heath kits. There were helicrafters, S-38s of various model designations. You know, the S-38, the S-38C, D, E, the whole shot. There were a lot of old HROs. A few Mint Collins receivers, some WRL Globe Gear, maybe a Globe Chief 90A or a Globe Scout 65 or a Globe Champ 300. Many of my friends and I were novices, while also soon after got a tech license to go along with a novice ticket. None of us ever wanted to be labeled as KN9s. Being a K9 brought us respect, despite the fact that hams in their 30s and 40s still called us short pants. Well, anyway, back to the Hamfest tables and the people who set up all that gear. I remember several Chicago-area guys with tables loaded with Army surplus stuff. Gear like the command sets, BC-458s, 454s, 455s, 348Qs, 1625s. They filled the tables. Dynamotors, PE-103s, they were converted to run this 24-volt stuff. And if it didn't smell of mildew, my friends, it wasn't authentic. The wild thing was that back then, there was no such thing as a handy-talkie. The closest thing to it was a 2-meter transceiver made by the Springfield Company that came with a telephone handset, real classy. Try lugging that thing around. As the years went by, the complexion of some of the gear changed somewhat. You could still see a National NC-300 or two, maybe a few Heathkit AT-20s or DX-35s, and hopefully a DX-40 or two, but never a famous DX-100. Those infamous Collins KWS-1s were always sold in private deals, as were the Johnson Viking Thunderbolt kilowatts or Viking Rangers and Valiants. But wait! The lights flash. The earth shakes. And we're transformed through years of strife and upheaval. And it's now 1993. And oh, wait a minute. Hold it. What's that? What's that stuff on the table over there? At the Corn Dancers Hamfest. My God, it's an old command set. Complete. With its built-in antenna tuner, so anyone can load up a wire fence or even a screen. Why, there's even a set of extra 1625 tubes. Shh, don't tell anybody. Will you look at that? That's the same guy. The same guy, the same clown selling that same junk from the late 50s and 60s. He's still alive, still around. I'm sure many of you experienced similar happenings.
This is the Rain Hamcast, available both on therainreport.com and on the Rain Report page on YouTube.
When some of my ham friends and I get together for an evening of dinner and conversation, we often comment that even if any of us haven't attended a ham fest for, say, 20 years or so, we'll still find the same exact people trying to hawk their wares. And we firmly believe that much of that junk on their tables is the same exact stuff that we saw back when we were kids. Now, don't go and get your juices all soured up now about these comments. It's true, and you know it, if you've been around a while. And isn't it amazing how hamfests bring out some of the more, let's say, unusual of our fraternity? I mean, just a couple of years ago, I attended one near Chicago, and sure enough, there they were. A lot of real old-timers I saw when I was a kid, still wearing their hard hats, crumbling civil defense stickers affixed to the front. There they were, the ones with the old GE, or tongues-all pocket protectors, with 6 pens, 4 pencils, and a metal protractor tucked away, just in case they need to make an accurate measurement of someone's life. My friend and I also noticed that hamfests seemed to attract the unwashed, unclean, and oftentimes the outrageous of our fellow amateurs. You will definitely see lots of people with huge bellies, rotting teeth, wearing sweat-stained t-shirts that only cover halfway down while also broadcasting bad breath and the worst BO ever. There are a salt of the earth folks who will plunk down 2 G's for some ultra-new gear while their kids pick lice out of their hair. Somewhere else, things will be different. But my friends, nowhere else in the world will you see a human being with 3 handy-talkies on his person, with 2 clip-on speaker mics, along with 2 earphones, one for each ear. I honestly saw one clown with 4 HTs all going off at once.
"Get over here quick," he yelled into his mini mic.
"I think I can get a mint set of Gonsa twins for you off this table. I'm in front of her practically nothing."
And then someone calls out my name and call letters. And my deepest and darkest fears begin to surface. Someone recognizes me after all. Oh, no, it can't be. He comes running up to me in bib overalls, cowhide boots, 4 pounds of mud and maybe manure under his fingernails, a beard ZZ Top members would love to have, and an extended hand to me. That hand, by the way, probably hasn't had an intimate relationship with a bar of soap in the last 25 years. "Glad to see you, old buddy," he yells over the noise of his dual band talkie. "What you doing here?" Not wanting to completely insult him, I only shake part of his hand. The fingertips, I believe, to be more sanitized than the rest. "I came to see if time really did stand still, as some people claim it does at hamfests," I explained. And then I saw it out of the corner of my eye, a flash, a ray of sun glancing off its smooth, shiny exterior. Like a whoosh, a chrome Vibroplex semi-auto bug, the Rolls Royce of CW people worldwide a long time ago. No electronics here, just straight fist pounding. 599, good luck in the contest, 73. I left this guy in mid-sentence and ran across the dirt path to the table with a guy wearing the old white hard hat. "How much?" I inquired. $300 because it's got new jeweled movements in it," he replied, not being affected by my teary eyes. "All right, all right," he then mumbled. "I'll give it to you for $200, and that's that." All the way home, My car smelled of mildew, a reminder I had reacquired some great artifact from my past, and at the same time understanding I truly visited a place where time warps are for real and the ghosts of ham operators past are alive and well, still selling their junk to kids just like me. Happy scavenging. This is Oren, K9KEJ, for Rain.
And those were the thoughts and musings of Buffalo Grove, Illinois ham Oren Brand, K9KEJ, better known among outdoors folks for his Mike Jackson Outdoors Show. We hope you enjoyed his humorous commentary as much as Hap did digging it out of the Rain archives.
We'll conclude our few minutes featuring Silent Key Oren Brand, K9KEJ, with the reading of A Ham's Christmas, written some years ago by the late Walter A. Tompkins, K6ATX.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and in the ham shack was the warm glow of tubes in the transmitter rack. The logbook was brought up to date with great care in case the FCC might someday be there. XYL and Harmonix were snug in their beds. No Tennessee Indians to addle their heads. I plugged in the mic and my new VFO, getting all set for a nice QSO. When from the relays there rose such a clatter, I yanked the big switch to see what was the matter. Then up on the roof, by the 2-meter beam, there came QRM like a heterodyne scream. On Gonset, on Babcock, on Viking, and Elmac, on Ranger, on Collins, on Heathkit, and IMAC. Bias to the grid and volts to the plate, just watch that S-meter while we all modulate. As I turned on the rig and reached for a dial, from the antenna tuner, Santa slid with a smile. An RF choke he held tight in his teeth, coax encircling his head like a wreath. A bundle of ham gear he had flung on his back. Was that my name on a new power pack? He had a stub nose like an egg insulator, and his cheeks glowed bright red like a hot oscillator. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, laying out all the gear, then turned with a jerk, and laying a wave meter alongside his nose, said, "Please, QSL," and up the feeders he rose. He climbed up that dipole, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like a jet-propelled missile. But I heard his last signal from the ionosphere. 73! 88! And a happy new year.